Good evening, everyone. I am very excited to share God's word with you tonight and to just share what God's been doing in my life and why God laid this message on my heart. I was so excited that right before the first hymn, I spilled water all over my pants, and I was so nervous. I was going to be like, oh my gosh, is it going to dry? Is it going to... So I was pretty nervous about that. But before we do that, before we get into the message, there's a few people I want to thank. The first being Pastor Hunter for giving me this opportunity and trusting me while he's away. Pastor Hunter, if you're listening to this right now, thank you so much. The second is my church family. That's you guys. You know, I personally believe that Plantation Baptist Church has the best church family in the entire United States. Amen? I've never experienced the unity that we have in this church anywhere else, and I've been to a few other churches, and that's something that I sense heavily in our church family. So I thank you for the love and the support and all the prayers that you've prayed for me in the last couple years as I've pursued going and going to Christian college and pursuing my calling to the ministry. So I thank you guys for that. Third is I want to thank my own family, my mom and my dad, and my sisters who aren't here, but I want to thank them too for all the love and support and the prayers that they've shown me. I want to thank them. I love you, Mom and Dad. So people have asked me, over the last couple weeks, Turner, what has been the best thing that you've experienced at Pensacola Christian College? I was talking about this specifically with someone just the other day. And I was thinking about it, and I thought about it. Is it the social aspect? Is it the extracurriculars? Is it going to the sports center and all the cool things that they have there? Is it the intensive Bible classes where you get to learn deep theology? And no, it wasn't really any of those things. The thing that stuck out most in my mind, the top tier aspect of being away at Pensacola Christian College, was chapel. There's a lot of structure at Pensacola Christian College. Are any of you aware of that? Lots of structure. So we had chapel 4 days a week, 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we'd have various speakers come in, but they were all pastors from different locations, different churches, small churches, large churches, all different types of churches. And I got to hear godly men almost every single morning, and I was enriched in that environment, and that allowed me to grow. That gave me the opportunity to grow in ways I didn't expect I could. One man that stood out in my mind was one Pastor Josh Tice. Now, he's the son of the great Pastor Tice at Liberty Baptist Church in Las Vegas. Some of you are familiar with him because I know there's a couple people in this church that come from his church. And great man of God. They've got an awesome thing going on over there. But I was listening to Pastor Josh Tice, his son, on a Thursday morning. And he was going over all the different trials and the obstacles that one faces while in the ministry in a place like Las Vegas. You know, you got legalized prostitution, legalized gambling, and all the different, and all the drugs that flow through that city. Let me tell you guys something. Ministry is people, okay? So the pastor is constantly having to counsel these people on a daily basis, and these are the different obstacles that he's had to deal with. So I'm listening, I'm half asleep from studying the night before, I'm like, and he's talking, and he said, you know what's bad when after each service, the deacons have to separate the poker chips from the tithe checks in the tithe basket. You know it's bad. And he actually said this. And I was like, oh, really? Interesting. Fascinating. But he went on. He took it a step further. He said, but bless their souls, we're not the ones that have it the worst. The ones that have it the worst are the people in the Catholic church down the street. And I was like, oh, why is that? He said, it's gotten so bad that the Vatican sent a special group of priests over there to sort out the poker chips and to cash them in at the different casinos. And I'm like, this can't really be coming out of his mouth. You know, I'm sitting here in chapel and this can't. And he said, yes, this is true. The Pope dubbed them the chipmunks. And I was like, I don't know. It was a Thursday morning, and every Thursday morning, whoever's teaching chapel comes in and teaches the ministerial seminar. So Josh Tice came in, taught the ministerial seminar, and he taught me the first thing you need to know is it's always good to start a sermon off with a joke. And with that, we'll get into the main text. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. A couple people ask me, hey, Turner, what are you preaching on? And I give them the reference, and they're like, oh, okay. What's that? So then I read it to them, and they're like, oh, I know that verse. So God laid this verse on my heart because it is so practical, and it has so much truth for the Christian of today. Let's read it. Scripture tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's three truths of application in this verse that I see. But first, let's look at the end of that verse. Seeking whom he may devour. Christian, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you gained two things. You gained the Holy Spirit into your heart, yeah? And you gained an enemy, and his name is Satan. And he wants to devour you. So what do you do? Well, the Holy Spirit, by way of Peter, first, this is the infallible Word of God, correct? There's no mistakes in this book, correct? Okay, so the Holy Spirit, by way of Peter, didn't make a mistake when describing the devil as a lion, correct? Okay, we see the nature of the enemy described as a lion, and I don't think that's a mistake. We need to know the nature of the enemy. He is as a lion. Once we understand the nature of the enemy, number two, we need to sober up. Amen. Third, we need to be vigilant. Let's get into it. First, we need to understand the nature and the battle plan of the enemy. You see, the nature of a lion is not the same as the nature of, say, a grizzly bear. A lion will stalk its prey for upwards of an hour before doing anything. A lion will sit and wait and plan routes and choose the prime, weakest target. A lion will creep closer and closer and closer before ever doing anything. You won't see a lion coming at you from a mile away like, ah, da, 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 here I come. That's not how the lion operates. You know, I will flip on the television sometimes and I see, you know, National Geographic or Discovery doing a special on lions, and it always seems to be the same thing. It's always the British accent guy speaking in a hushed tone, so it creates the illusion that you're there too. And the lion always has a human name. Don't know why, that's how they do it. So it comes off being something like this. We see Lucy behind the bush. Look at the fierce, fierce desire in her eyes. It's going to be a bad day for poor Bambi over there. And that's how the show always seems to go. And it's annoying, and I only watch it to see Bambi get destroyed. But that's how it happens. The enemy operates in stealth. You know, spiritual attacks are never what you're going to see in a horror movie. There's no full manifestation of evil. One, the void has been filled, and that's just not how it's going to happen. Satan wants to attack you when you don't even know it's happening, and he wants to make you ineffective for the cause of Christ. That's what Satan wants to do. So, if you're taking notes, stop taking notes and just listen up. Check these characteristics in your own life. How is your prayer life, Christian? Is it what it should be? Are you making a priority to spend time with your Creator? Is it what it once was, or has it becoming less and less and less and less and less to the point where things have come into your life and you're not even... Listen, do you know your Creator like you know an intimate family member? Do you know him mediocrely like you know an acquaintance? Or is he just like a neighbor where you wave hi and bye as you're driving off to work? What has been taking priority lately? Do you see old habits and sins resurfacing into your life and coming back in? Things that you might have haven't done since you were a baby Christian, or maybe since you were unsaved, but you see these sins creeping in and creeping in and creeping in. Do you see sin resurfacing into your life? Are you pulling away from godly relationships and have stopped seeking out godly counsel, and you're falling back to the same old crowd and same old friends that you hung out with before you were saved? Are you spending time with people that have no interest in learning and sharing God's word? You might not realize these things are happening because they're happening so slowly and so gradually, and they're happening right under your nose where you can't see it. These are all signs that you could be under spiritual attack. You know, Satan would love nothing more than to make your personal relationship with God weakened. He would love to see your prayer life just destroyed. He would love to see your Christian testimony tarnished and kaput with sin. And then making you ineffective in sharing the gospel of Christ. He would love to see your ability and desire for sharing the gospel extinguished. So, Paul saw the importance of knowing the nature of the enemy. If you could, if you would, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Da, 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 da. Scripture reads, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And you know what, Christian? We should not be ignorant of his devices. We shouldn't be ignorant of what he wants to happen to the Christian. We shouldn't be ignorant of his nature. Lest Satan should get an advantage over us. So, we know that Satan wants to, by way of stealth, make the Christian ineffective for the cause of Christ. What are we going to do about it? It goes right back to 1 Peter 5:8. We need to sober up. We need to sober up. Does this have anything to do with drinking alcohol or not? It's not what the verse is talking about. What sober means is to have a good sense of judgment and the ability to discern. So many Christians today have some sobering up to do, and they don't see the reality of their spiritual walk for what it is. You know, it's super easy for myself included and for everyone in here to get distracted with things like jobs, careers, children, health problems, bills. Could be good things. It could be recreation. It could be schooling. But we let all these things that come into our life take priority over the one thing that will sober us up. You see, when your focus and desire strays away from being centered on what sobers us up, we do not have the ability to discern. And the Christian will be made a fool of. So, what is the one thing, Christian, that will sober you up? Right here, God's Word. You see, we, as Christians, as everyone, we have something called a sin nature. And apart from God's Word, we can't discern anything. We can't make a judgment call on anything because it will be in the what? Flesh, exactly. There's a perfect example for this, and it involves our own Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Matthew 4. I want to show you what Jesus does when he's being tempted of Satan in the wilderness. I'm going to try and keep the references to a minimum because I know you might get tired turning. But Scripture reads, "Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread.'" I don't know about you, but after, well, Jesus went 40 days. If I were to go 6 hours, all logic and reason would go out the window. I wouldn't care about this, 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 or this. All I would want to do is eat. And the saying goes, Baptists can eat. So we see, what does Jesus do? 3 times he's tempted. And three times, he retorts with Scripture, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Don't quote me on this because I don't have it in my notes, but I believe it's Psalms 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Is that right? I think that's the right for reference. Nothing has changed. If you hide God's word in your heart, you will be able to discern spiritual attacks from the devil. You will be able to make sober-minded decisions, and apart from that, you just can't. Amen. All right? We agree? Good. The best way to stay sober-minded is to be focused on the Word of God. You know, it takes a sacrifice to set apart time each and every morning to get into God's Word and to know what it says. But is the sacrifice worth it? It's worth it. It's worth it, people. We see one last thing that the Christian has to be. We understand that we need to know the nature and the battle plan of the enemy. And because we understand the nature and the battle plan of the enemy, then we know that we can also, that we also have to be sober. The last thing that 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be is what? Vigilant. Vigilant. This means to keep awake, to keep watch. It almost carries with it the same connotation of a guard, standing guard in front of a keep, making sure that no one walks through the gate at night. Actively aware, vigilant. We have a tendency, people, to become idle in our thought life and in our actions. You know, we want to be lazy and we just want to relax, but as Christians, we're not given that luxury. We can't relax. If we aren't actively defending ourselves, if we aren't actively defending our prayer life, our witnessing vigor, our Bible reading, and our testimony, upholding our testimony by not letting sin into our life, we're going to be destroyed and devoured. We have to be actively aware. We have to be vigilant. I won't make you turn there. I'll turn there myself. But I'm going to 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. 2 Samuel, oh gosh. Second Samuel 11, verse 1. This is what happens if you aren't vigilant and you aren't aware. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth into battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And in the following verses, it describes David's spiral into sin. It describes his spiral into adultery, and the next into murder, and then into lying and deceit when he tried to cover it all up. And he found himself in a whirlwind of sin that he couldn't even fathom. And it all started because David tarried. You see, it was the time when the kings go forth into battle. And David was the king of Israel. But David didn't go into battle. David stayed behind. And David was not vigilant in defending his own, and he was lazy. Christian, don't fall asleep at the gate, lest you let the enemy right inside. Don't find yourself idle in action or thought. Make sacrifice in your Bible reading and take action in witnessing to the lost, and plan time to talk with your Creator. Take some pride in your testimony and don't compromise it with sin. Be proactive in these things and be vigilant about them. It requires sacrifice. It requires hard, tough sacrifice, but weigh the costs. And look at David. Is it worth all the sin coming in that David reaped a cost? David reaped the cost of that sin. You say, Turner, I've tried so hard to make the sacrifice. I've tried to be vigilant in these things. I've tried to stay aware. I've tried to make time to pray and to do these things. I've tried to plan out daily Bible reading schedules, and I've tried to uphold my testimony, and I've tried to have the courage to witness to my lost friends, family, and neighbors, and each time I've failed. And you know what? You know what? You did fail. You failed. But there's a reason why. There's a reason why. This is the last verse I want you to go to, and then we're going to be wrapping it up. Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, make the sacrifice, as to the Lord and not to men. Do it in the spirit and not in the flesh, church." You try and do something like that in your flesh, and you will fail every single time. There's no possible way that you can be vigilant the way you need to be vigilant and defend yourself doing it on your own. But thank God, you don't have to do it on your own. You've got the Holy Spirit. Do it in the spirit and not in the flesh. We see in Scripture that we must know the nature of the enemy. We must know his battle plan. Just like a football team, weeks ahead, will watch the tapes of the team that they're playing, and they'll study the offense and the defense and the plays they move here and the risks they'll take there. We need to know the nature and the battle plan of Satan. We need to know his devices. And once we know his devices, we need to sober up through God's word. And I don't think that the church as a whole is doing the best job. Not Plantation Baptist, but I'm saying Christians need to know God's word and hide it in their heart. And last, we need to be vigilant. We need to be actively aware by making sacrifice to the Lord. Not doing it on our own. We must defend ourselves in the spirit and not in the flesh. Say, Turner, I'm a Christian today and I'm struggling with sobriety. You're sitting here now. You're sitting here tonight. Tonight you can make a choice to turn and go a different direction and sacrifice the time it takes and get to know God through his word. You can do that tonight. You say, Turner, I'm a Christian, But I haven't been vigilant like I should. And now, just like David, I'm reaping all the consequences of the sin that has just walked right in the gate. You might be reaping the consequence of sin, but you're sitting here now and it's not too late to defend yourself any further. You can make a choice tonight. You can make a choice tonight to do that. It's not too late to make a decision to change. I think we should pray right now. And if any of you are struggling with sobriety or vigilance when it comes to defending yourself against the enemy, pray with me and pray to God that you can have the courage to change right now. Let's pray.